Hot Tackler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 438, Shrine, recorded live on August 14th, 2014. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pod Tackler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm. And with me today is a couple of people that have been on here before, since BioWolf isn't able to make it for tonight. He was able to get in on Tuesday for our initial discussion for the Gamescom stuff. And today we have Godzilla Todd, the Game Night Extraordinaire. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me back again.
Oh, definitely. And we also have Pins Halo on the show as well. Welcome, Pins.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Good. So a lot of stuff coming out at Gamescom. We've already talked a lot of stuff already from the Tuesday briefing. We had the Xbox press briefing and we had the Halo presentation. We had an impromptu podcast and that one's already out. If you guys haven't listened to that, I highly encourage that you go check it out. It's episode 437. And this one, of course, is episode 438. We're going to talk a little bit more about some more details that have come out from the Xbox Lounge streams that they've been putting out. So there was one Wednesday morning. They were talking about the Halo channel and Delta Halo and some of the stuff that they've done with the remastering of the Halo 2 campaign. And then there was one today for talking about Sanctuary, and they had Max Hoberman, who is present over at Certain Affinity, who have really been with Halo for a long time, since Halo 2. Max was one of the guys that worked very closely with the multiplayer. He was one of very few people that worked on the Halo 2 multiplayer stuff back in the day. And it's interesting to see him back in the swing of things. It's really cool for some of the stuff that we've seen, and we've gotten a lot of hands-on experience with Sanctuary. It's probably been the most explored map out of any of the maps for Halo 2 Anniversary, so we have a lot of information about that map and some other stuff going on here as well. But guys, since this is your first time on just from Gamescom starting, what's been your general impression, and what's some of the stuff that you guys took away from the podcast that we had on Tuesday? What's kind of been the big important stuff for you guys?
The fact that the Sanctuary's back, I love it. It's one of my favorite maps. I love that they're showing, you know, they showed off a lot of game. They're showing off a lot of gameplay on it. Of course, all the guys that are there that are able to stream it or record it or, you know, posting their videos up on YouTube, and it's looking beautiful. I like the map elements for the waterfall and everything. It's going to add a nice little twist to the gameplay. Give you, you know, some place to hide in plain sight. But overall, I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, I talked a lot about how actually it took them a long time to figure out what the maps are going to include. And they had a pretty good idea at the start that Sanctuary was going to be one of the maps, because it is a symmetrical map. It's very well known for its competitive play style and fitting really well with stuff like Capture the Flag and Slayer. They've made a really big improvement to it from an aesthetics viewpoint. If you just look at the map, it's so pretty. You have a lot of the water that's been added into there. You have rivers. You have waterfalls, you have this beautiful skybox, and you have other visual cues to help you realize where you are on the map, and it's just overall a huge overhaul. But from listening to some of the streams that they've already put out, a lot of the pro players still say that it feels like Sanctuary. It has that similar play style, and it doesn't really differ that much from the original map.
Yeah, the gameplay, go ahead, Pins.
It definitely looks beautiful. I've never been good on that map at all, but it looks great, and I can't wait to actually get on there and play it. Pretty certain my luck will probably be the same, but still. And I also am really interested in the Halo channel, too. It looks really interesting. I'm a Windows guy, so you know, more than likely, I'll be able to load it up on my work PC and be able to check stuff out, and I'm really interested to see that.
It's really cool. A lot of the stuff that they've announced for this week. Would Halo Channel be kind of your number one thing for what's been announced? I kind of skipped over you whenever I went into my whole spiel about Sanctuary.
No, that's okay. I think for me, yeah. I always seem to have a hard time staying up on news, especially working long hours and whatnot, but it just looks like it's a great clearinghouse, I guess is the best word I can think of it, to be able to one-stop go, be able to get news, you know, watch Nightfall, watch Ford Unto Dawn again, you know, community videos and things like that. I always liked Waypoint for that, and this looks like it's even better.
Definitely. They actually had a stream on Wednesday morning, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, where they go into some of the details on whether or not this is the extension of Waypoint, if it's a replacement or not, but we'll get to that in a little bit. As far as the Sanctuary stuff goes, it's been there's been a lot of attention to it, especially since people have actually been getting their hands on with it at Gamescom. So for those who don't know, on the floor at Gamescom, at the Xbox booth, Halo 2 Anniversary is playable for Ascension and Sanctuary. And a lot of the stuff that's been coming out has been of Sanctuary. Although this is the first time that this is accessible to fans for Ascension, a lot of people were focusing on Sanctuary, and I think it just goes to show that Sanctuary was a really good pick for having a map remade for Halo 2 Anniversary. As far as some of the other maps go, we have Coagulation just from a concept art standpoint. We know that's coming, but we don't know what it looks like in-game yet. And then Zanzibar, all we have is screenshots. So the only two maps that we have gameplay of, actually, is Ascension and Sanctuary. So Sanctuary, just to see that all the content's coming out from that and not Ascension, is just says mounds, I think, from what people are really looking forward to for the remastered maps.
Well, I think that Sanctuary has always been the more popular map of the two. I mean, if you had to narrow it down to just those two maps, because of the symmetrical design, how well it works for CTF, Slayer, and all the game types that it was built for, it's a very balanced map, and it's a lot of fun to play. Watching the gameplay today, it looks like it plays just like it did in Halo 2. Of course, I can't say that for sure until I actually get my hands on it, but just from watching the streams, the gameplay looks the same, but you get these beautiful visuals and the sounds of the map, of the weapons. It's awesome.
So as far as the sounds go, one of the things I noticed when watching a few videos that they've already released from the B-rolls and the streams that they've done, and a few other YouTube videos that people have put out, some of the sounds seem to be mixed in from other games, and some seem to be completely new games. The SMG, for example, sounds like a completely new recording for the SMG sound, while the rockets sound like they're the Halo 4 assets. And then you have the announcer voice, you have Jeff Stitzer, which sounds like it's using the Halo 4 ones there, and a few other elements seem like they're using Halo 4 elements as well. So it seems like the sound stuff maybe is not quite finished yet, because they do have a mix of assets. It's probably going to be a little different because this is something that's still kind of in the beta stage of what we're going to see for our final build. So take it for a grain of salt for what the sounds are going to be for right now. But just from the visual aesthetics and from the sounds that are in for the water effects in Sanctuary, it's just unbelievable. This looks like a next-gen game.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
So as far as some of the other things that are in Sanctuary, we'll get to those in a little bit. I want to kind of backtrack here and go over the streams in order. So the stream on Wednesday morning, it was with Kiki and Dan Ayoub. So for Kiki, we have talking about the Halo channel. And for that, it's supposed to be an evolution of Halo Waypoint. It's not going to replace Halo Waypoint. The website's going to be there. The app on the 360 is going to be there. And they're really gearing the Halo channel towards an interactive entertainment channel, kind of like a premier TV channel like you would get on your TV subscription. So it's supposed to be one consolidated place to get all your Halo news and interactive and premier content in this one interface. And with that, one thing that I found pretty interesting is all the Halo bulletins are actually going to be a weekly show that they're going to do. So instead of just having the article on Halo Waypoint, you're going to have this video that comes out weekly. And I think that's where the polls come in, because they've attached some polls, and especially when they were doing the matchmaking stuff back about a year ago, where you could go and vote for the maps and the game types that you wanted whenever they had those three option things. So that is probably going to be incorporated into those Halo Bulletin weekly shows. That was pretty cool. I thought it was pretty cool to see that be included and have that as some kind of new content being put out there.
Yeah, definitely like the idea of the broadcasts as far as the bulletins and the polls. Be interesting to see what they put in those polls. So, overall, as far as, like a weekly TV show on that channel, that's going to be really nice, along with a lot of the other stuff that they've talked about.
There's still a lot of room for content, though.
Like you said, that's the question, is what are they going to fill it with? The video bulletin, I think, is great. I mean, is it just going to be Bravo? Is it going to be other people there, 343, so they get more FaceTime as well? There's definitely room for other things there. Maybe a way to help for to bring Machinima back to Halo. You know, have a place where it can be central place where people can submit their stuff and have it viewed by the general Halo community, something like that.
Well, it's definitely going to, the site's going to depend heavily on community content. You just can't rely on 343 to generate that much content, because that is a lot of content. Just from the, you know, my standpoint of about just the amount of different Halo news, videos, gameplay that I consume in a week, it's a lot of, there's a lot of room there for content. I really hope that they do bring in the community for, with it, to help fill that void, you know, of the stuff that they're not producing. With the Twitch streaming, I don't know exactly how that's going to play out when they actually launch the channel. I understand that, you know, if you're going to have like tournaments and stuff, that seems like it's going to work really well. But, you know, for your average everyday consumer, or, you know, just your average day, what are they going to put up there for that streaming, if anything? Also, you have your the two digital series for and I just blanked on the name, Nightfall, Ford Under Dawn, and then you have the Steven Spielberg one coming next fall. Okay, well, those are short-lived series. Granted, I can't wait to watch them, and I'll probably watch them multiple times, but, you know, you're looking at a matter of weeks there. You know, you're getting one episode a week.
So from the community content perspective, they did talk about having shows like Red vs. Blue on there, and we're probably going to see a few other community-based shows that have been featured on Waypoint before. So things probably like Pete the Duck's Forge with Pete series that has been posted on Waypoint, the Playtime series by Cruel Legacy, the things that have already been put on Halo Waypoint from a community standpoint. I think those are the kinds of media that they're looking to put on in terms of community. And then the Twitch stuff is going to be all driven by Twitch streamers.
I think you're probably going to see a lot of older stuff in there, like the old lore videos, Playtime, things like that, at least at the beginning, until they can gather more newer stuff to actually post up.
So from getting newer content up there, one of the things that you have to challenge is it going to be something that they would approve? Because they're not just going to pull random community videos that hasn't been vetted through some kind of process at 343 before posting them up there. It's not going to be something like that. So you have to take a look at what's out there from the community perspective. Are they going to try to pursue more people that have put out series on YouTube, or is it going to be something along the lines of just links or hubs to a little bit more general content? How are they going to control that flow is one hurdle that they're going to have to overcome pretty much.
It was definitely a challenge because there's a lot of content out there.
Yeah,
there is, but it's what kind of content are they looking for specifically, and what kind of content are they going to cater to specific audiences? There's a lot of the videos that they've put up on Waypoint in the past, so I have no doubt that those features and those kinds of content items are going to be put on this app. But what's going to be the new stuff that they're going to include on here? Outside of just the Twitch streaming, outside of Ford and the Dawn and Nightfall with the Halo Encyclopedia stuff on there, which we know someone who's actually working on that that piece of it, Grim Brother One, made a post on Facebook the other day where he said that he's kind of on the Halo Channel team, and he's doing a lot of the writing for the Halo Encyclopedia stuff, so he's on that team. Hopefully we can get him on here after November 11th, after the launch of the Master Chief Collection, to talk about some of the stuff that we can expect. So I'm going to try to talk to him at PAX whenever we go there, which is in 3 weeks, by the way. And then you just have to look at the other kinds of content out there. Is 343 going to be a lot more open to it? Are they actually going to reach out to people specifically to include things in it? How's that community content process going to work? And again, that's something we're going to see, get more details on probably down the road before, like a little before the app comes out or something afterwards. I'm going to have to poke and prod some people though to see if they have any current plans or what's their idea for doing the whole community thing. That's one thing that I've said here on the podcast a few times, and whenever I did my community spotlight with 343, one of the things I really hearkened to was the community involvement from just all the communities interacting with each other perspective, and then the perspective of the studio getting involved with the community. So taking a look at everything that's out there, all the offerings that the community has to offer, and trying to figure out a way to incorporate that into the greater Halo experience, to do what some of these other communities already do to facilitate interactions with others, to facilitate spreading the word and getting a lot of this content out there, is going to be a good thing if they can manage to get over some hurdles and make a process out there where you can get that kind of content readily into the Halo channel.
The only other thing that I could think that they might put up there would be, because we know 343 advertised for like AGL would be on the competitive side, the Halo tournaments themselves. You know, maybe they, I mean, it would, that's not like weekly content, but it would be regular content. You know, be, you know, every other month or something like that, they'd be showing a tournament, maybe. That would be something I could see them putting up there.
Yeah, that would be like a monthly event type of things. But one of the other things I'm kind of thinking of, just going through scenarios in my head right now, is you have to take a look at how TV does it. If they want this to be like a premier channel of sorts, you have to think of the different content you can put up there. So take something like one of the local news stations, like ABC or something. You have your normal news segments, and then you have your daily programming, then you have your evening news segments, and then you have your evening programming, which is like TV shows and movies, depending on what's kind of coming out, or if they do like feature presentations and whatnot. Now, that's not to say that the Halo channel should be something like that, because the Halo channel is on demand. It's not something that is scheduled programming, but you can take some similar concepts to where you have these things that come out on a regular basis. So YouTubers, for example, they make content on a somewhat regular basis. So you have certain channels that would maybe go through some kind of process to be approved. So something like Green Skull's channel, Ready Up Live, or More Console for a Halo, and filter all that stuff based off of Halo, or just do channels that are dedicated solely to Halo, and then incorporate those into content that you can get on the Halo channel. And that's just one avenue to take. Another one is to get a lot of these past machinimas that have been really popular, that have gained a lot of community attention, like the Playtime series, like matchmaking, like Red versus Blue, and a lot of other machinimas that have been made out there for Halo. There's plenty of content. It's just a matter of what content are they going to pull from the community perspective.
I'd like to see him bring back Vociferous and his alternate ways to play campaign.
I never watched those.
Got to. They're a lot of fun.
All right.
I was always a fan of the Waypoint Top 5. That always cracked me up. I always enjoyed watching it. And I'd kind of like to see something like that come back, which I think they may have already mentioned. Was that in the video?
Yeah, they had a little snippet of a Top 5 animation in there.
Yeah.
I can expect to see that being kind of popular, because that was one of the first series that they actually did on the original Waypoint app, was do a Top 5. Now, it wasn't something that was super serious, but with the graphics that they had there, it looks like they're looking to do a Top 5 plays. It's serious along the lines of kind of the MLG Top 5 when they used to do it back in the day for Halo, which would be really cool.
Yeah, there was another one, was it This Spartan Life?
Yeah, that was another big machinima series. And they I'm not sure if I'm allowed to go into too many details, but they are looking at publishing some content that they've made in the past, and they're looking at doing more videos now. And that would be a good avenue to pursue. I know Damien, Lassa Damien, or his actual name is Chris. I know Chris really well. He has lots of ideas for the series to go forward, trying to get those kinds of things on the roll again, for getting some of the old staff from the Spartan Life and some of the old community members back together. But it's those kinds of things where the community voice from what's out there currently should be taken someone into consideration when you're talking about community content, not just doing licensed partners like Red versus Blue, but doing something that is a little more community based and maybe entering into maybe not as binding of an agreement, and just do something that's kind of temporary and case by case.
Yeah, because the last thing you want to do is bring in about a bunch of community members and then make their videos like a job. Cause most of them,
right.
You know, they do that stuff for fun. They're not using it, doing it to make income. They're doing it for fun. And you don't want to make it seem like a job or they'll just stop creating the content.
Right. So what kind of content is going to come? I'm going to try to ask a few people whenever I get to PAX. Cause I know Grim Brothers One's working on it and Bravo probably knows some details. And if I can get a hold of, Kiki for a few minutes and I can ask her about it too. So hopefully when time PAX comes around, we'll have some more information for you guys on that. Going back to the video though, and some of the notes that I wrote down, the, this isn't particularly specific to the, Halo channel because they did talk about the Halo channel and the campaign experience for this stream. So kind of going on to some Delta Halo stuff when they were showing that off. All the music is actually being re-recorded at Skywalker Studio, but they're taking a lot more of a genuine approach to it this time instead of what they did for a Halo CE anniversary and kind of redid the entire thing. So they're sticking a lot more to the original style of Marty's music in Halo 2. So you'll notice a few differences just because they wanted to remix it for higher fidelity and optimize it for a 7.1 surround sound mix and a few other little things. But for the most part, a lot of the iconic music pieces that you know and love from Marty for Halo 2 aren't going to be there. They're just kind of remastered in a sense.
Why mess with something that's good? That's my thoughts on it. I mean,
yeah, and they said that plenty of times on their stream as well. If it's not broke, don't fix it.
I think on CEA, they actually, because of the way Marty did things, they actually had to sit down and listen to the music and literally rewrite the sheet music to see, you know, to get it, to try to get it back to where it sounded like what he had, you know, what he actually produced.
I'm going to be honest. They didn't do that great a job.
No, I will agree with you there. But when you're sitting there and you're listening to a song, trying to reproduce it, some things are going to get lost.
True,
there's a lot of people there's a lot of people that do a good job at it. That one group that did the Halo, the original Halo song, and I can't think of their name now. They were featured. They were actually on stage to introduce one of the Halo games. What was that? Who was that? Blanked on it now.
Don't know who you're talking about, to be honest.
I
feel kind of bad that I don't know, but I honestly don't.
Yeah, me too. I really, really wish I could remember their names. But they didn't like buy the sheet music to the game. They sat down and listened to the track over and over again and reproduced it that way. Now, their version of it does sound different than Marty's version, but it's still a very good reproduction of it. With that said, I think by the time Halo 2 came around, Marty did a better job of taking notes as to how the music was composed and stuff. So I think this is going to be a better reproduction of Marty's music. At least I'm really hoping it is.
Just from the stuff that we've heard so far in the clips of Delta Halo from the presentation and from the other footage that we've seen of it so far, it sounds like Marty's music. It doesn't sound that different at all. It's hard to get it from a stream perspective to see what changes there are. And I'm sure whenever we get the game, we are going to notice the subtle nuances, but it sounds a lot more true to Marty's music for Halo 2 Anniversary than it does for Halo CEA. And I am really happy about that.
Godzilla, was the band that you're thinking of Corporeal at E3 2007?
I think that's it.
Okay.
It wasn't E3.
Google is my friend. That's all I got to say. Looked it up real quick.
Go Google.
Yeah.
So sounds being altered just slightly to be remastered and re-recorded for surround sound mix and high fidelity. And they talked a little bit about the lighting system and how they, for Halo 3 and Halo 4, even though they're basically just copying that code in, they have messed around with the graphics engines just a little bit, made changes to the lighting systems and the shaders to just give it a little bit more of that pop to it. So while you're playing the same games and you'll have a lot of the same textures and stuff, they've said it's just a completely different and upgraded experience just because of the changes that they've been able to make, not to mention the 1080p native and the 60 frames per second. So you're going to get a lot more detail out of all those maps.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Just watching the Twitch streams, you can see, you know, when the player pans or, you know, he's searching, you can see that the video is a lot smoother than it is currently. You know, you don't get as much motion blur as the player pivots. The images still stay that crisp. So I'm really looking forward to seeing this stuff in person.
As am I.
Yeah.
Just under 3 months. I cannot wait.
What do you mean 3 months? You get to see it in 3 weeks.
Not the Halo 3 part, I don't.
Oh, well, the Halo 2, sorry.
We were on the topic of Halo 3. Stop jumping around ambiguously on me. It confuses the heck out of me.
Well, even in the Halo 3 stuff, it's going to make a huge difference in the way it looks.
Yeah. But I'm looking forward to it. Halo 4, though, they did do a lot of the lighting and shader stuff already, so the changes that they're going to make to it, I'm not as sure of how that's going to change that much, but Halo 3, I can definitely see where they can make some big differences to that. For the next stream that we have, there was one more thing on the Wednesday stream that they talked about, and that was the ranking system. They did announce during the press briefing on Tuesday that they were implementing a ranking system very similar to that of the Halo 2 ranking system. And then the Wednesday morning stream, they talked about how the ranking system is going to be used for every Halo game that's on the Master Chief Collection. There's going to be one overall ranking system, but you're going to have a ranking system for each individual game. So a lot of people are excited about that.
The odds of me still getting a 50 are still slim.
A lot of people's chances of getting a 50 are a lot slimmer now. Because in the next video, and I'm going to jump ahead here a little bit, in the next stream from this morning, actually, Max Oberman talked about the ranking system for Halo 2 and some of the stuff that they have, or when he was developing the ranking system, some of the ideas that they put into it. But that was the video from Wednesday morning, so they talked about the Halo channel, they talked about some of the stuff going into the campaign side of the Halo 2 anniversary piece for the Master Chief Collection, and then they touched on the ranking system just a little bit. So, heading over to the stream from this morning, or this afternoon if you're in Germany, they talked about Sanctuary. They had Max Oberman, who's president of CA, on to talk about the remaking of Sanctuary. And from the rest of the maps that we've seen that have been remade so far, it has its additions to give it a little bit more openness to it. So, one of the things that they've done on Sanctuary so far is they have lifts now in the shotgun hall, so you don't get bottlenecked in there, you don't get cornered in there without any way out. You can actually go up a lift from shotgun hall to snipe. Gives you another way out.
There's been many times I wish I'd had another way out.
Well, now you do.
I do like the fact that they pointed out that in Forge that you can block that off if you want to make it the traditional map. That was a nice touch.
Well, they did that for Pitfall for the Champions bundle too, so.
Mm-hmm. And they did that for all the Reach maps as well. You could go in and put in pieces. They made specific Forge pieces where you could block off the new additions and make it to where you played like the old style map. And that's what they've done for all the maps that they've remade since then. So if you wanted to block off the lifts in here and play the classic Sanctuary style map on Halo 2 Anniversary, you didn't want those things, and you can block those off. One of the other things that they've introduced to is waterfall switches. So at each of the bases, there's a switch on the top of the base. It's this big red glowy thing. And I'm actually going to start slides if you're watching on the live stream. Hopefully this doesn't crash the stream. But in here, you'll see a screen grab that I took of the stream from this morning. And there's a red switch thing that's on the top of each of the bases. And you shoot that, then this waterfall starts to come down around the base. So you have the three sides, you have the front, and then the two on either side of that, not on the ramp side. And that's actually just a visual block. It's not a hard light shield type of thing. All it is a visual block. So you can still shoot, and you can still throw grenades and all that stuff. You can just walk in and out of it. But it provides some different strategy. It provides some defensive strategy, which they talked about initially, but it also provides some offensive strategy, where if you want to try to pull some people out of the base, and if they can't see you coming up, then it really can play a dual role and add some new strategy to the map. And they're going and adding more switches onto it. They have the one in Ascension that is controlling the hard light shield, and I wouldn't be surprised for the rest of the maps that they have that they wouldn't include switches or some kind of interactive elements in there, because that's one of the things that people have been really asking for. And it's been kind of an icon of Halo 2 and Halo 3 is the interactive elements for the maps.
I'm kind of interesting to see what they're going to do for coagulation as far as, you know, an interactive element for it.
There's rumors of like a bridge, because they showed off the bridge forge piece that was going to be included for the forging canvas of coagulation. But other than that, we really don't have much information on what that could be. I could see some kind of base switch.
Yeah. To open the, well, I guess it could be to open the door for the Banshee spawn or something like that, you know, to get into the bottom of the base.
Or maybe a window on the top, like have a sunroof window that can retract if you hit a switch in the base or something.
Well, they did always have that hole in the top of the base. They could put a retractable door on that opening that could be switch activated. The one thing I heard Max mention, and he wasn't sure this was true or not, that the in Forge, he said he'd have to check with his team to find out if those switches were placeable in Forge. So that would be an interesting twist, too, where you could go into Forge and move the switches.
Right. He wasn't sure, though.
I know. Take it with a grain of salt. He said he had to check with his team.
Those kind of interactive elements usually are not placeable in something like Forge.
Yeah, I'm not exactly holding my breath for it, but with the new generation and the new engines, there are definitely possibilities there that were not there before. I mean, we have in Halo 4, we have the Dominion switches, which activate, forgeable pieces. So,
right.
There is a possibility that they can tie that to the interactive element of the map. Whether they did or not, who knows? We won't find out. Hopefully, we'll find out something at PAX. They mentioned that they would be talking more about Forge at PAX. So
I'm excited to see what they're going to do with it. And from what I've heard from a lot of people, Coagulation is supposed to be the Forge map for Halo 2 Anniversary. So we'll get to see a lot of the cool stuff at PAX, what the plans that they're doing. And we'll probably actually get a walkthrough of Coagulation finally, and maybe it'll be playable at PAX. That'd be really cool. I would love to see some kind of tourney or event, what they're doing in Gamescom right now, for some epic Coagulation CTF. And if the Halo Party has CTF playable on Coagulation, and if they could do massive lobbies or long games of CTF that could potentially last 2 or 3 hours long, that would make me a really happy camper.
Sitting down and playing Halo for 4 hours, yeah, I don't see how that'd make you happy, especially since it's a totally remastered version and nobody else has gotten to play it yet. I can't see where you'd be happy doing that.
Ain't nothing wrong with that at all.
No, there's not. I wish I could join you.
It's bad enough that I'm not going to be able to get my hands on the Master Chief Collection for like 4 till the 15th when I get home, but so I've got to wait an extra 4 days before I can play it.
That's too bad. Because once it comes out, I'm going to be playing the heck out of that thing.
Same here.
And then when the beta comes out, that's going to be another time where I'm just going to be like, I got better things to do. Play Halo, play Halo, play Halo.
So you need to get all your projects done before December.
I'm hoping they're done before November for a particular reason.
That would be good.
That would be cool. Anyways, moving on. Some of the other things that they added to Sanctuary was just the water in there. There's all the waterfalls from the landscape that they've included in there, and there's actually rivers running through the map. So there's water all over the place. And it didn't used to be in Sanctuary for Halo 2. A lot of the architecture is very similar, but it basically looks like it's an overgrown Sanctuary. And you have water running through. It's just been overrun by streams and with the switches on the bases, just waterfalls up there. And it's going to make gameplay a little bit different because of how certain things, like grenades especially, just react in the water. So you're not going to be able to get maybe the exact grenade bounces as you're used to. But everything else that you remember about Sanctuary is still there. You have rocket spawns in the middle. You have ARs on the map because that's being included in the Halo 2 Anniversary stuff. The turrets are still there. You can probably put an energy sword in the middle instead of rockets if you wanted to. Snipes is in the same place. Shotguns in the same place. BR is in the same place. Frags, carbine, plasmas, stickies, all that kind of stuff. So this is pretty much true to Sanctuary, but the graphics overhaul on this is just simply amazing.
Definitely proud of them for what they've done for with the graphics on them, because both the maps they've shown so far have been absolutely beautiful. I can't wait to see what they're doing with the other maps.
Yeah, Hoss Sauce in the chat says it's a flood. But from a visual standpoint, it looks really, really awesome. I can't wait to play it. The skyboxes alone are pretty. And if you were on the live stream, you could see some of the screen grabs I took from the stream this morning. And the back wall for, I believe it's Blue Base, well, one of the bases. The back wall, they have the big waterfall there, and that's kind of where the origins of the streams come from. Then you have the sky towards the sun, and then you have it on the other side of the map where you have the foreigner pillars going into the sky. So it's really beautiful. It looks stunning. This is probably one of the best looking Halo maps I've ever seen.
I like how they worked in the glare from the sun as well. It really brings the map to life, because you turn towards the sun, you have that glare in your face that, for one, you have to deal with, but it gets the lighting correct for the map, it gets the shadows pointed the right direction. It just adds a lot, just that small little detail.
Not to mention the additions, which are going to add a lot more dynamicism to the maps, but it's still going to feel and play like Sanctuary. It's just because the lists just give you another thing to think about. It definitely gives you a way out, but whenever you're attacking that hallway, now you have two places to think about where people can go. They can either back out, they can come out the same way before, which is the same thing that you would normally think of, or you could they may go up top. So you have to really be a lot more aware of what's going on and actually have a little bit more control over the map, because if they just jump on up to Snipes and Snipes are there, then they have that. Whereas before, if you're in that shotgun tunnel, you were pretty much screwed and you had no way out. So it actually changes the dynamic of the map quite a bit for those key areas. But all in all, from what I've heard, it still plays a lot like Sanctuary. So people in the chat, the screenshots were set to rotate every 10 seconds. That's why it may have looked like it was lagging, but it really wasn't. For the most part, when it comes to the ranking stuff, because I did talk about that a little bit, it is using a lot of the Halo 2. It's very similar to the Halo 2 ranking. Max talked a little bit about how there was an article posted on BNet, and I'm going to go try to find that article, see if that's anywhere, and I'll attach it to the post I make on podtechnica.com for the rank, because I haven't made that post yet. There's about 3 or 4 posts that I have lined up that I need to write and publish, along with about 6 or 7 videos from Gamescom. And he talked about how, for anyone that knows statistics, because I am not anyone that knows statistics that well, but he used a modified ELO system, which I didn't have time to look that up before the podcast, and they're basically using a similar approach for the ranking systems in the Master Chief Collection. And he termed the phrase zero-sum at rank 15, which means if you were winning and losing a game 1-for-1, your rank would be 15. So if you were winning consistently, then you would be over rank of a 15. If you were losing, you'd probably be under rank of a 15. So if you remember how hard it was to get a high rank in Halo 2, it's going to be that hard to get a rank in the Master Chief Collection. And I hope that doesn't discourage people, because I know a lot of the ranks in Halo Reach and Halo 4 were a lot more forgiving. Halo Reach specifically, because that was more of a progression system. And then the CSR in Halo 4, to me, was kind of a joke. But if you remember how hard it was to rank up in Halo 2, then expect the same amount of difficulty of ranking up in the Master Chief Collection. And if you hadn't played Halo 2 before, if you weren't there back in the day when Halo 2 was a thing, it was not easy to rank up.
I think I made it to a 20 in one playlist and just stopped.
When people talk about the ranking systems, they almost always talk about the Halo 2 ranking system. Going back to that, or something similar to that. So, I mean, it's pretty much just 343 giving the people what they wanted.
Yeah. It's a ranking system that everyone has been dying to get their hands on. I don't know many people who got above 43 because that was the last numbered one, and you went into the other icons that were up there. But if you talk to some of the pros, some of them are like, yeah, whenever we got the icons instead of just the numbers, that was a big deal. So the 1 to 50 rank, if you were above a 43, you were good. Like, hands down, you were a god amongst Halo players.
I was fortunate enough never to run across one of them.
I wasn't around to play back in that time, so I didn't have a chance to run across them. As far as some of the other stuff goes, they talked about the spawn system a little bit. It has changed for Halo 2 Anniversary just because of evolution of spawning systems. And it's going to be similar to Halo 2, and they moved spawn points slightly just because it is a rework of the map, and they wanted to fix a few things just that were issues in Sanctuary for Halo 2. But as far as getting a very similar feel to Halo 2 for the anniversary stuff, it looks like they're trying the best they can with the mix of engines that they're putting into this thing to make it as close to Halo 2 as possible.
You know, I honestly never really had a problem with the spawn system in Halo 2 on a consistent basis. I mean, every once, you know, once or twice a game, I would get a bad spawn. But, you know, most of the time, I was pretty happy with where I spawned because I was usually reasonably close to my teammates, you know, when I was in a team game. And very rarely did I spawn in the middle of the enemy team. So, I'm, you know, there's room for improvement, but I think it's going to be just fine as far as being able to, you know, you still get that Halo 2 feel when you play the maps.
Yeah, I don't see a problem with it, to be honest. It's going to be one of those things where you're probably not even going to notice it, even though it's there. A lot of stuff goes on in the background that you don't know about on games like this. So just kind of like sit back and color, and you probably won't notice a thing if you're just focusing on the gameplay. Unless for some reason you're really digging down and you are that kind of nerd when it comes to stuff like that, then I don't think anyone is really going to notice too many differences from Halo 2 and Halo 2 Anniversary other than just kind of the visual overhaul and the few things that they've already come out and stated. But from an actual gameplay and game mechanic perspective, I think that's going to be pretty similar to the Halo 2 experience.
Yeah, the only people that are really going to notice the difference in the spawn system is going to be the pro players because they spend hours studying the spawn systems so they can predict where the guy they just killed is going to respawn. So, you know, people that are, you know, in it for the competitive nature or in it for competition, they'll notice the changes, but your average everyday player is probably not even going to notice.
Right. With that, that kind of covers the stream stuff. There's a few more things I wanted to bring up that we do know a little bit of information about just from other streams and other news places. And one of them is a couple map names. So the Sanctuary map is called Shrine. And then we have the Ascension map is actually called Zenith. So those are the map names. So we'll probably get map names for the rest of them too. We'll probably have to wait for those to come out. I don't think they have a name out for Zanzibar at the moment, and we'll probably get the one at Coagulation at PAX, because I have a feeling that's the one they're probably going to explore a little bit at PAX if they don't decide to talk about another map, like if it's going to be Lockout or not. So we'll have to wait and see for that one. And another thing was something that Team Beyond posted. They found a video that went through a lot of the customization options that someone was able to record when they were at Gamescom. A lot of the similar icons that we know of before, it looks like there's some new ones in there, some taken from a variety of different games. Duquesne was wondering if his cowboy hat one was in there, and it is. Look, going through some of the customization, you have your emblem that you can do. You have, it looks like you can modify your stance a little bit. You can choose colors. And it looks like it's a pretty nominal color set that you can pick from. You can set your clan tag. Of course, and there's actually nameplates. So if you remember for Halo Reach, where you could choose the like the Halo game plates, or you can choose Bungie or the Seventh Column, stuff like that, they actually have those nameplates that you can select for the Master Chief Collection whenever you go in. And from the looks of it, it is Halo Combat Evolved, Halo 2, Halo 3, Halo 4, a UNSC one, a Spartan Helmet one, knives, and bullets or ammo as well. Oh, one thing I forgot to mention. The grenade effects in the Halo 2 Anniversary Engine. There's actually a screenshot going around if you're on the live stream, and you'll see it when I make the post on Podtacular, is the grenades actually generate dynamic lighting for the environment. So they had a couple of grenades throwing while they were in the shotgun hall, and you could actually see the shotgun hall light up from the explosion and have this dynamic lighting effect on the environment. So it was really cool. It would be nice to see if it actually casted shadows against players. If it did that, it would be even more awesome. But just looking at the flash of the grenades and the effect that it had on the environment was really cool to see. Did you guys catch that when you were watching the streams?
Yeah, I noticed that when he threw the grenade, it looked different, but I didn't pick up on why it looked different. But now that you say that, now I remember seeing the light hit the walls and, the lighting in the tunnel change.
Yeah, kind of the same thing that Godzilla said. You saw there was something different, but couldn't tell right then and there exactly what it was. But with what,
so they talked about that a little bit.
What they have available for them from a power standpoint on the Xbox One, it's not a surprise. Really, it's not a surprise that you're going to see these little enhancements and stuff like that.
Right. So that's all the news that we have coming out of Gamescom. This is probably the last bit of news that we're going to get. The only other thing to expect from Gamescom regarding Halo is going to be the tournament final that's going to be streamed on Sunday. So if you guys head over to last week's bulletin, they have some information in the podcast 436. We talked a little bit about the tournament information that they have out there as well. It's a $10,000 prize pot, and the top 8 players are going to get some money out of that prize pot. The finals and the playoff rounds are going to be broadcasted live, I believe, on the Xbox Twitch channel. So you're going to be able to watch those on Sunday afternoon. I believe 2 p.m. is going to be the start time, if I remember correctly. But check our previous podcast, episode 436, or go to last week's bulletin and check out the tournament details there. No bulletin this week because they are at Gamescom and everyone's busy. So that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. If you guys want to check out some of the other content from Gamescom, there's a bunch of videos that's everywhere. I'm trying to catch up on posting a lot of stuff, but I have posted stuff from Sanctuary, the announcement, to the Halo channel announcement, to the multiplayer beta screenshots. And you can find a lot of those assets over on the Halo Waypoint site, or I've uploaded them all to Podtacular as well. Also, check out the forums. We have a few topic threads talking about some of the announcements that they have. And from the stuff that they talked about today, I need to start some threads. Or someone needs to start some thread. So we'll get that going. If you're not a part of the forums, I encourage you guys to head on over to podtacular.com and sign up for them and join the discussions over there. Also, for PAX, we're going to be there. I have a couple people from the stream last time, because we had so many people there, want to do a Podtacular meetup. I'm not sure I'm going to do that. I'm going to make a post in the forums to see how many people would come, because I don't know how many people would actually be going that knows of Podtacular. So we'll see on that. But I am making a swag purchase either tonight or tomorrow. So if you're at PAX, make sure you come see me. There's going to be some nice goodies that you can pick up that's Podtacular branded.
Cool.
Very exactly. Cool.
Make sure you guys check out our social networks. Make sure you go to Twitter, where that's where we post up all of our updates. Make sure you check out Facebook, YouTube, where we're uploading some videos from Gamescom. And, of course, check out the website, podtacular.com. Go over, sign up on the forums if you haven't already. Join the conversations over there. And if you guys are listening to us from iTunes or Zune, thank you for downloading the show. Thank you for listening to us and subscribing to us on a weekly basis. You can check out our live streams, which happen on Thursday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time, and 1:30 p.m. Britain Time. We do game nights as well, which Godzilla runs. Tactical Tuesdays, which is on Tuesdays, and Wacky Wednesdays, which is on Wednesdays at the same time, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you guys check out the podcast network. That is podka.st. It's a network of podcasts, including the fine folks over at Guardian Radio, Critcast, Reachcast, and How to Murder Time. So if you guys are looking for some other gaming podcasts to get involved with, make sure you check out that network. There's some really good content over there, and we highly encourage you guys to check them out, and we consider them friends over here on the Podtacular Podcast. So I want to thank Godzilla, Todd, and Pentalo for jumping in on the hot seat while Beowulf was away. Really appreciate you guys being on the show. We will see you guys next week after hopefully a recap bulletin from Gamescom, and then we will see you in very shortly at PAX.
Can't wait to hear from PAX.
Oh, definitely. It's gonna be great. Time to watch some of that. Those videos.
Oh yeah. So, everybody in the stream, everyone listening to us at home, thank you for tuning into Podtacular. This has been episode 437. We will see you guys next time. Keep on fragging waterfalls.